The Manitoba Association of Christian Homeschools would like to thank the Learning House for sponsoring this recording.
Well, thank you all for coming this morning. I appreciate it. And I was looking at the schedule of talks going on right now. I know Israel, I think, is doing a talk about screens and technology, and that is a super important topic. So I'm glad you picked me over him, because I would have been going to his session. So I did a talk last month at the Manitoba conference about screen use and technology, and we'll touch on it a little bit in here, but that's not the main point. I'm really glad you're here. I just want to encourage you. The choice to homeschool your kids can sometimes be difficult. How many of you are like just getting started in homeschooling? Okay, we got a few here, right? I said to my wife when we were driving in, so our oldest is almost 20, and I said, I feel like, you know, I'm just one of the young guys at the event. And then I'm talking to people like, how old are your kids? Like 4, 5, 6, baby. I'm like, oh, maybe I'm one of the old guys now. But that's okay. Well, Jonathan mentioned it. I've written a couple books. I have them at my booth out there. Danger in the Jungle is an adventure book for kids kind of age 8 to 12. We are always looking for great books for our kids to read. And if you go to Chapters Indigo looking for books, there's a lot of vampires and crazy stuff. And I said, well, maybe I could write a book for my kids. The kids love reading. So I kind of had my boys in mind. It's like Jurassic Park, Indiana Jones, the Hardy Boys. Those were all the kind of things I was trying to pull into this book. So my boys love it. I've heard other boys like it, and girls, my daughters like it as well. So that's that. And my brand new book is called Yes, Dear, I'm Watching Them. My 17-year-old daughter did the illustrations. This is our family on a rented moped in Dominican Republic. That was a true story. We had 10 of us on there. We had seen like 6 on a moped. I said, kids, I think we can do 10. So I had some on my shoulders. The big kids had some on their shoulders. I'm glad it was a rented moped, because it was bottoming out as we rode down the road. This talk is about living with intention. So as homeschool parents, you guys are probably already very intentional. Just making the choice to homeschool is something intentional that is very important. My dad had a stroke in January. He's 65. And so I went to visit him with my son Sterling back in January. And we walked in the room, and one of the first things my dad did was he said, Sterling, you got to find out what God's call is for your life. You got to make sure that you're listening to God's voice, and you're finding out, you know, reading your Bible and finding out what God has for you. And I thought to myself, this is a man who just had a stroke like 3 days or a week earlier. And we come into his hospital room, and he immediately starts telling his grandson that he needs to find God's call for his life. And I appreciated hearing that from my dad, because the intentionality of his words to his grandson. This is my grandfather here on the zip line. So he was 80 years old. He passed away a couple years ago. But in this picture, he was 80, and he's with his great grandkids here, showing them the zip line at our house. But also a man who was very intentional about teaching and training and discipling his children, and now his grandchildren. And he did get to meet a few of his great grandchildren before he died. So the idea of being an intentional parent has been going through my mind recently with some of these things that have happened. And I have a question for you. How many of you have met your grandparents? Okay. How many have met your great grandparents? Has anyone met your great great grandparents? Okay. The sad thing is that we live in a culture today that many people have never met their grandparents. Many children now are growing up in single homes or broken homes. And it breaks my heart, because a lot of these kids are not getting the love and the intentionality and the training and discipleship that come from a mom and dad being in a home. And so this is just very dear to my heart. And I just want to encourage you, being intentional homeschool parents is very important. And you guys are doing a good thing here. This is my family here. We have 10 kids, age 1 to almost 20. I have my three oldest girls. The little kids joke, I have one of the girls with me, and the little kids joke that when the older girls go to a homeschool conference, they are single and ready to mingle. And whenever my 6-year-old son, we were getting ready to leave, and we're leaving to come here, and he's like, Violet, you're looking for a man, looking for a man. So whenever his big sister's coming, he's like, you guys should get t-shirts, looking for a man. So I'm just throwing that out there. They're not in this room. They would have left by now if they were in this room. But we're looking for some good young men for our daughters. All right. I have a podcast called Helping Men Thrive, focused on this topic as well, just talking about men are often very intentional in our businesses or our ministries or our careers, and not always as intentional in our homes. So we spend a lot of time talking about that. You know, how can we be winning at home and winning at work? It's called Helping Men Thrive on YouTube and Spotify and all of the things. Okay, tomorrow I'm doing a talk at 1 o'clock about finances. It's called An Oink in a Dink World. An oink is one income, nine kids. I wrote this before we had 10. In a dink world, double income, no kids. It's getting harder and harder financially for many families. And we don't live in a world that is friendly always to big families and big things. So this is about some of the financial things we've done in our family and some of the mistakes that I've made about that. Being intentional, let's get into it here. Let's pray before we do that. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these moms and dads that are here. I thank you that they are carrying a vision. I thank you that they are going to lead their children and then their grandchildren and then their great-grandchildren. And I pray, Lord, like Deuteronomy 6 says, that they would teach and train as they come in and as they go out, when they stand up and when they get down, when they drive in the car, when they have kids with skinned knees, that they would be intentional teaching and discipling and training them, Jesus, to love you. We give this time to you, Lord. I pray that you would speak to the hearts of these parents, Lord, and put a vision in their hearts to be intentional and to raise and disciple their children to love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Being intentional does not mean being perfect. There was only one guy who was perfect, and it wasn't Jesse, and it wasn't me, and it wasn't anyone in here. It was Jesus. So we can still be intentional parents if we're imperfect, if we're unqualified. We're going to talk about a guy named Gideon in a little while, another guy named Joseph from the Bible. There's a verse in Malachi that says, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. And that is really my prayer, that fathers and mothers in this room, that your hearts would be turned towards your children and that your children's hearts would be turned towards you, and that the influence and the mantle of leadership that God has put on you as parents would transfer to your children as you teach and train and direct them. Now, some people say that our families are obstacles. And we live in a world that doesn't always cheerlead having families. The world says, hey, family's an obstacle. But I don't believe that's true. I believe our families are vehicles to make an impact in the world. Our families are vehicles to make positive change. Our families are vehicles to grow the kingdom of God and impact the community around us and impact our neighbors and our churches and the families around us. I really believe that our families are vehicles that God has given us to grow his kingdom. We're going to look at Joseph, kind of outline where we're going here. We're going to look at some of the small things that Joseph did to be intentional. We're going to look at Gideon for a minute. He was intentional about some of the wrong things, but he kind of got things figured out, Gideon. We'll talk about our thoughts, how we can be intentional with our thoughts and our words and our actions. And I'll give you a few practical ideas, and we'll look at some other biblical characters that sometimes made mistakes and what happened with those mistakes. All right, what does it even mean to be intentional? This is about intentional living. Intentional is about doing something that is deliberate, that is purposeful, that is planned, that is calculated, not just randomly floating through life and just doing whatever comes our way. And I want to encourage you, you're all probably familiar with Deuteronomy 6. It was actually in the little intro in the workbook or in the manual for this weekend. Stacy mentioned Deuteronomy 6 in there about loving the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, and then teaching our children, impress these things on your children. Teach them diligently to your children all the time. When you come in, when you go out, when you get up, when you lie down. Our days are made of moments, millions and millions of these tiny moments. And I think homeschooling moms, they're really good. You homeschooling moms are good at creating intentional teaching moments. Like, we're going to have a craft. We're going to have an object lesson. We're going to go outside and look at trees with a purpose and learn about God's creation in nature. Moms are very good at being intentional and creating intentional teaching moments. Dads, you know, they can do it, but sometimes it's a little more difficult for dads to like create the perfect, you know, craft time that is going to have a lesson with it. But what dads are really good at is taking random things that happen and turning those into intentional teaching moments. Because sometimes we have planned teaching moments and sometimes we have unplanned teaching moments. So come with me to my house on Monday when I had two boys in the living room and they were playing hockey. So we had a 13-year-old boy and a 6-year-old brother playing hockey in the living room. And they were playing hockey with the baseball on the living room floor. And a 4-year-old sister, Mabel, came prancing through the middle of their hockey game. Can anyone guess what happened to Mabel? Mabel got hit with the baseball in the living room. So this was a great opportunity for an unplanned teaching moment. So I was there just after it happened. Mabel came running. Dad, Arrow is our 6-year-old. Arrow hit me with the baseball. I said, how did he hit you with the baseball? Oh, they're playing hockey in the living room. I'm like, of course they're playing hockey in the living room. So I went in and I went to Arrow. I said, Arrow, you need to apologize to your sister for hitting her with the ball. I'm sorry for hitting you with the baseball. Like, Arrow, that didn't sound like a very honest, you know, heartfelt apology to your little sister. Come over here, look her in the eyes, say, I'm sorry for hitting you with the baseball. Will you forgive me? So he did that. He pretended to be sincere. He sounded sincere. He gave her a hug. But those, how many times in a day do we have those small little moments that happen? And don't think that I turn every moment into a teaching moment like that, because I miss lots of them. But we need to be intentional about taking those little moments that happen and turning them into a teaching about forgiveness, teaching about being sorry, teaching them to apologize honestly and sincerely to their sisters. All right, I'm going to talk about something called geometric progression here. This is a picture of dominoes. Everyone knows what dominoes are. A regular domino is about 2 inches tall, okay? And geometric progression, I almost failed my last year of high school math, so this is not a complex math scenario here. It's very simple. Geometric progression says an object can knock over, a domino can knock over another domino that's 50% bigger. So like here, a regular domino can go and knock over one that's 50% bigger, and then 50%, 50%. Till if you were to stretch this out, it would get very big. And I want you to think about the small moments, because that's the point of this here, that the small moments in our lives make a difference. So if you were to stretch this out, this geometric progression, the 10th domino would be about the same height as Darren here or Jonathan here, about 6 feet. You've got 10 dominoes out, you're at about 6 feet. If you keep going, by the time you got to the 18th domino, you know, it would be about as tall as the Leaning Tower of Pisa in Italy, I think that is. The homeschool moms will know where that is. It's somewhere in the world. The 23rd will be about as tall as the Eiffel Tower. 23 dominoes in, and we're as tall as the Eiffel Tower here. And if we keep going with that, 57th domino will be 3,000 feet higher than Mount Everest, a domino higher than Mount Everest. And by the time we got to the 57th domino, it would almost reach to the moon. 57 dominoes in, and we are almost at the moon, starting with a tiny little regular domino. The small moments in our homes can make a difference to our children, to our grandchildren, to our great-grandchildren. I just want you to be aware that those small things that happen in our homes, millions of moments over time and over years, over meals and over trips, those all add up and can make a difference in our homes. Sometimes it's hard to homeschool. There's small things that happen, and we've got these little children, and we've got dirty diapers, and we have spills at the table, and we had a cup fall out of the cupboard and break the tea kettle the other day. Like, all these things happen in our homes. But in Zechariah, it says, do not despise these small beginnings, because the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. The Lord is rejoicing that you are intentional and starting the work with your children, even when they're small. Even when it seems like your house is a disaster and you have laundry piling up and there's dishes piling up and you know you've got work deadlines to do, I want you to know that God sees you and the Lord rejoices in the small things and the small intentional things that you're doing with your children. Okay, let's look at Joseph here for a minute. Can someone just give me the summary of Joseph's story? I'm looking for a volunteer. Who can tell me who Joseph is and what happened with Joseph. Go for it. Exactly. Excellent. Will, remember, that was a great summary. Joseph's dad gave him a coat of many colors. He was kind of the favored son. He had a dream that all his brothers and his parents were bowing down to him. His brothers didn't like that, so they sold him into slavery. They wanted to kill him, but the oldest brothers were... Are there any oldest siblings here? Yes, we are so responsible. We're like, we are not going to kill our little brother. We're just going to put him in a pit and sell him into slavery. Good one, oldest sibling, for making the responsible choice there. Joseph gets sold into slavery and goes to Egypt, where he gets promoted, where he is diligent and intentional and faithful in the small things, even to the point that he found favor in the sight of Potiphar, who he ended up working for, and was promoted in Potiphar's household until Potiphar's wife tried to seduce Joseph. He ran away, but got framed for the situation, went back to prison. He goes down into prison, and he's intentional there again. And in prison, the captain of the guard sees that he's responsible and that Joseph was serving the other prisoners. He was becoming a leader, and he was intentionally working through his whole life in all these situations, despite setback after setback after setback. Until eventually, like you said, he saved Egypt. There were 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. His family came. He was able to save his family and make an impact on the world, the known world at that time, because of saving them. So his brothers come back to get food when he's ruling Egypt. And even then, Joseph is intentional. It talks in the story about how he seated his brothers at the table in order of their age. And they were shocked about that. Like, wow, they didn't know who Joseph was, but he seated them intentionally in their order of age. Then he tricked them. He put silver in one of their sacks when they went back to their father. And he did a whole bunch of little tricks on his brothers to eventually get their whole family there and make a difference. But Joseph was very intentional about being faithful in those small things through slavery, through working in Potiphar's house, through then working for the Pharaoh in Egypt. Joseph was very intentional about that. I used to work in our family business. We had a manufacturing business. We built custom agricultural equipment. And we had a machinist in our... Is there anyone here who is in like the fabrication kind of business? A couple of you, okay. So we had a machinist, one of our lead guys in our shop. And we were having a conversation one day, and he said to me, you know, it really bugs me when I'm walking through the shop and I see like a plastic bag or an old rag or a piece of garbage on the floor. He's like, it just takes a moment for someone, one of the guys, just bend down, pick up the garbage off the floor, throw it in the trash. He's like, it's not a big deal. And this is one of our best guys. He's a skilled machinist, and he is aware of the small things lying on the floor in our shop because it makes a difference to the environment if we're working in a clean environment. He said, these guys don't have garbage on their living room floor at home. Why would we want garbage in our shop? Now, with 10 kids, we sometimes have garbage on the floor in our living room. Let me be honest about that. But I take those moments to be intentional and say, kids, pick up that garbage. Or my wife does, because I might maybe not notice it, you know? So there's that. But those small things, the small things, like even just picking up the stuff on the floor. So we're talking about being intentional inside our home. What about being intentional outside of our homes, in our communities, with our neighbors, inviting our neighbors over, hospitality, and trying to make that kingdom impact, using our families not as an obstacle, but our families are a vehicle to make kingdom impact. And hospitality can be a part of that. Being involved in your church and in your community. There's a friend of mine at our church who has a small print shop in our town. We're from Estevan, Saskatchewan. We drove out here yesterday. Travis has a small print shop, and he prints these little, like, have you ever been in a coffee shop? There's like a little newsletter, kind of, it's got some ads and some jokes maybe and a horoscope, usually something like that. So Travis is printing these little brochures or these little newsletters that are in waiting rooms and coffee shops and restaurants all around Estevan. And we were having a conversation last summer, and Travis said, you know, I really want this to be a positive impact in our community. I don't want to put a horoscope in there. I don't want to do any of that stuff. I want to make this positive, but I'm not sure how to do it. And I said, well, I write for a newspaper. I write articles about dads being intentional with our families. You know, would you want to put that in your little newsletter? He said, that's a great idea. So he started putting that in. And then he had a local pastor who also writes weekly a blog and a devotional kind of thing. And he put that in his newsletter as well. So now all around the town of Estevan, in restaurants and waiting rooms, there's this little, you know, like weekly publication that is encouraging family, that is encouraging faith. And Travis, as a local businessman, is now making an impact intentionally, very intentionally, in the community for good, for God, for family in a positive way. If you're involved in business somehow, you know, what are creative ways that you could get involved in your community to make a positive difference? I really like that example of Travis being super intentional, not just in his home, but in the community as well. So I already showed you this picture, but I want to tell you another story about my dad. So here's a guy who just had a stroke. He's been in this rehab center for about 4 weeks. I went to visit him a few weeks ago, and I was talking to him on the phone it was last week, I guess. And he said, I'm starting a Bible study for the other patients in the rehab center. Actually, my mom told me, I wasn't talking to mom. Was like, dad is starting. He's starting a Bible study in the rehab center for the other patients. And I was like, wow, that is awesome. We have a guy here who is like half paralyzed, going through rehabilitation, and he's starting a Bible study in the rehab center, just being so intentional with his faith. And I just admire him so much for that. When I was visiting him, we got to meet some of his friends. He's got friends all over the place now. He's talking to people. And there's a young guy there who's also partially paralyzed, 39 years old. And I went in to talk with him, and I just felt the sense like God wanted me to pray with him. I didn't know this guy. But I just asked, I say, hey, you know what? Can I just take a moment to pray with you? You know, I follow Jesus and I believe, you know, God can make an impact. So I was able to take a moment and pray with this young guy at the rehab center. We have things in our life. Dad having a stroke is not a good thing, I don't think. I don't know why Dad had his stroke, but now he's able to intentionally make an impact in the rehab center with other patients. His family, we're coming to visit him. Hopefully we're making a positive impact with other people there. Even in these difficult times, like Joseph being put in slavery, like my dad having a stroke. You know, we go through these things and we don't always know what the reason is. And we can still be intentional to make an impact for the kingdom of God through these moments. I want to expand your vision a little bit here. This is my grandparents. I already talked about them. In the Bible, it talks about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Many times in the Bible, when it talks about God and referring to God, it references three generations of men: Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob was Joseph's father. I want to encourage you to think about how the small things you're doing in your home are making an impact, not only on your children, but your grandchildren, your great. Do we have any grandparents in here this morning? Are there any grandparents? Awesome. Great. Thanks for coming to the homeschooling conference. Maybe your parents and grandparents. Is that the situation? Love it. Great. Thank you. We need godly grandparents. We live in a society that sometimes puts the elderly away and doesn't want to see them or puts them in homes. And it's like, we need the wisdom. And the gray hair brings wisdom, it says. It doesn't bring wisdom, but it says, if you have gray hair, you might have wisdom. We need the wisdom from our grandparents to be passing on to generations. And my grandparents were a great example of that. One thing they did very intentionally was bless their children and their grandchildren. So this is our family a couple years ago now. There's almost 100 of us with my aunts and uncles and cousins and stuff. And one thing that my grandparents did, they would lay their hands on my dad and my aunts and uncles when they were children going to bed, and they would say a blessing on them every night. They'd put their hand and say, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and lift up his countenance upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. Then my dad and my mom, when we were growing up, said a blessing over us every single night. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and lift up his countenance upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. Now, I am saying that blessing over my children when I put them to bed. Nearly every night, my children are blessed. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. They wrote a song about it a few years ago that we sing a lot in our churches. But what power is there in intentionally blessing our children? I estimate that my kids have been blessed, like, by the time they leave my home, it'd be like 6,000 blessings or more that they have been said over them. Just, it's a quick thing. We do it when they go to bed at night. It's an intentional moment where we are blessing our children. I want to encourage you parents to bless your children. We live in a culture, I think tomorrow at 2:30, Aaron Bergeron is doing a talk about taking our boys through adolescence. And I think he's going to talk about rites of passage. We live in a culture, in a Western culture, that rites of passage are not really a thing for us. We don't have bar mitzvahs like the Jewish culture would have. We don't send our boys into the jungle to like kill a leopard and then live in the jungle. And then when they come back, they're a man. You know, we don't have these kinds of rites of passage. But blessing, the bar mitzvah is part of this rite of passage for Jewish boys where they are intentionally blessed. Another opportunity to be intentional when your children are going through puberty, your boys or your girls, to be intentional, give them a blessing, do something with them. Another way that we can be intentional with our families. It's these little moments. I'm going to play a video clip here from our podcast with Dr. Rob Reno from Visionary Family Ministries. He's got some great resources, Visionary Family Ministries, for intentional parenting. And he talks about the culture we live in where often our kids, we expect our kids to be discipled and trained through youth group and Sunday school and church. And those are all good things, but the primary role, the primary responsibility of our kids' spiritual growth is us as parents. Let's listen to Rob. I loved the analogy of how he put that the meals, we give them the meals at home. We give them the meals through teaching them how to have personal time with God. They get the meals through being involved in corporate worship with a family and with the body of Christ. And all that other ancillary stuff is the vitamins. And we love the vitamins. They're great. We love getting, you know, youth leaders to pour into our kids and other godly men and women to pour into our kids and Sunday school and VBS and all these things. Those vitamins are great. But I want to encourage you in your homes to be giving your kids those spiritual meals. When you're sitting around the table, mealtimes are so important. Take time. We're reading through a devotional right now from Kevin Swanson. Is anyone familiar with Kevin Swanson? Generations with Vision, I believe, is his ministry. We're reading through the book of Proverbs and going through this devotional with our children. After mealtimes is a great opportunity to be reading the Bible and learning together and taking that intentional moment. And don't think like we all are just, the 10 children are sitting around the table quietly and they have their hands in the air and there's a light from heaven shining down as dad prepares an object lesson and teaches from the Bible and then someone prophesies and it's a beautiful thing. Incorrect. You know, kids are getting off their chairs. Kids are poking their brothers and sisters. Kids are spilling their milk. It's normal family life. It is not a perfect dreamland. Being intentional is not about being perfect. It's just about being purposeful, being intentional, even if it's messy at mealtimes. All right, let's hop back to Joseph here. We got a few more minutes. Joseph's brothers come back to Egypt after bringing their father with them. And then their father lives in Egypt with their whole family for a while until he passes away. And his brothers think, now that dad's dead, Joseph is going to want revenge on us. So let's send a message to Joseph and say, Joseph, before our father died, he gave these instructions. You know, your brothers, they are your servants, still take care of them. They can be your slaves. Like, don't kill your brothers. And Joseph looks at his brothers and says, do not be concerned for your good. The best of all the land of Egypt is yours. He forgave his brother. This isn't a talk about forgiveness, but forgiveness is an intentional thing that is so important too. And how many families and relationships are broken because we don't forgive hurts? And I'm not saying that it's easy, but forgiveness matters. Joseph was thrown into a pit, sold into slavery. If anyone didn't have a reason not to forgive his brother, it was Joseph. And he still forgave them. And it made a big difference in their lives and in the lives of Israel as they flourished in Egypt. And that story went on. And then Moses came along and freed them. Okay, let's talk about Gideon for a moment here. Gideon threshed wheat in the wine press in order to hide it from the Midianites. Do we have any like grain or wheat farmers in the room here? Okay, I thought there might be a few. Okay, tell us. You guys don't thresh wheat out in the field anymore, I don't think. Am I correct? It happens internally in your harvesters, correct? So the chaff, which I'm not a farmer, I don't know about this, but the chaff is all the bad stuff. Somehow it gets shook up inside your combine and the grain falls and the chaff gets blown out the back. Is that an oversimplification of what happens? Fantastic. Great. So how did they do it in Gideon's day? Well, Gideon would have been out in an open field like this. I've heard the story of Gideon lots of times and said Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press. I'm like, what does that even mean? What are we talking about here? Well, where he should have been was out in like an open field like this, and he would hit his wheat and separate the chaff from the grain and then throw it up, and the wind would blow out all the chaff and the kernels would fall down. So this would be a very good place to thresh wheat in an open field with wind. This would be a very bad place to thresh wheat. They say this is what his wine press could have looked like. There would have been more things around it, but it was essentially a hole in the ground where they would crush all the grapes and stuff. So it is a less than ideal spot. There's probably not a big breeze blowing through the bottom of this hole where he is threshing his wheat. So good for Gideon for trying to take care of his family and provide for them. But he was hiding in fear in this spot, a very poor place to be doing the job. The tool was not the tool for the job that he needed here. Not a good place to do this because Gideon was hiding in fear. But what did the angel say to him that spoke to him? Said, Gideon, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. He didn't look like a mighty man of valor as he was hiding from the Midianites. He didn't look like he was intentionally trying to, you know, conquer and be a warrior, because the term valor means having great courage in the face of danger, especially in battle. But God looked at Gideon, even though he didn't show the fruit of being courageous and a man of valor, God still looked at him and said, you mighty man of valor. As homeschooling parents, sometimes we feel unqualified for the job. You know, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a missionary. I'm not a university graduate. I'm not a, you know, I don't have my PhD. I don't have a doctorate in something. No, you don't. But what you do have is your children that God gave you, and he didn't give them to anybody else. Now, I know there's exceptions. There's adoption and fostering things where God brings children into our lives. But God gave you the children that you have, and I believe God has given you what you need to teach and train and disciple your children with who you are and what you have now. Even if you don't ever go to another homeschooling conference, you have what it takes to teach and train and disciple your children. So I want you to be encouraged, because sometimes we have family that is not supporting us, people that are very against us homeschooling, but what you're doing matters. Be encouraged. You do have what it takes, and you are mighty parents of valor here in this place right now. Okay. Tell me, I'm looking for some examples here of other people in the Bible. Was there anyone else in the Bible who made a mistake besides Gideon, like hiding in fear? Who else in the Bible made a mistake? David. Yes, David made a bunch of mistakes. Who else? Noah. Yes, Noah made some mistakes. Some family integrated mistakes. Moses. The killer, the murderer Moses you're talking about? Yes. Who else? Abraham. We'll go to Egypt, pretend that my wife is my sister, Abraham. Saul. King Saul, Saul and Paul. Yes, young man. Samson. What did Samson do that wasn't good? He did lots of things. That is awesome. What's your name? Zeke. That's a great story. Zeke, come over to my booth afterwards and I'll give you one of my free dinosaur books because you did a great job. So if you couldn't hear Zeke, he said Samson's parents didn't want him to marry Delilah and they were against it. And Samson said, make it happen. That's what you said, right? Samson said, make it happen, Zeke. Yes, he did. That's awesome. That's the best example. Jacob, he made mistakes. Rahab, the prostitute, she made mistakes. She's in the lineage of Jesus. David, someone said. Daniel. Daniel was a captive. He was like a slave, similar to Joseph. He'd been taken from his family. Moses, someone said. Abraham. Gideon, we talked about Gideon. Paul. Saul, we have King Saul. We also have Paul, the overseeing the murder of Christians, Paul. Joseph, talked about Joseph. He was a bit proud at the beginning of his life, kind of boasting his dreams to his brothers. Jonah. Jonah intentionally like took off in the opposite direction that God wanted him to go. But you know what happened? God still used every one of these messed up people that made mistakes, that wasn't qualified. And he can use every single one of us just the same way with having an intentional Samson. My man Zeke talking about Samson. There he is. I already mentioned this, but this is multi-generational vision here. So this is, I had an opportunity to go to Holland with my grandfather in 2011 before he passed away. So this is my grandfather. This is my uncle, me, and my daughter Annabelle. So we have four generations represented here. And we are at the grave in Holland of my great-great-great-grandfather where he had been buried. And this trip just gave me a vision. I've mentioned a few times, a vision for my own grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And all of you are going to be old and gray someday, and you're going to have grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And the things you're doing now, those small moments matter and make a difference and are going to impact generations of your family. Let's wrap up with this. Okay, how are some ways that we can be intentional? I've mentioned a few here. Weekly rhythms and routines. And I've got Sabbath down at the bottom there, which would fit into the weekly rhythm and routines that we have. Are you taking advantage of a Sabbath rest time? It's one of the Ten Commandments, and we kind of are just like, meh, Sabbath, meh. You know, do not murder. Hey, that's a good one. Do not steal. That's a good one. Honor your father and mother. Oh, that's a really good one. Keep the Sabbath and remember the Sabbath. Meh, we don't really need that. We don't really need that. Yes, God gave us the Sabbath to rest. Can you incorporate Sabbath into your intentional weekly rhythm that some people celebrate it Saturday, some people celebrate it Sunday? We've got all kinds of crazy work schedules these days. Is there a time that you can intentionally have Sabbath moments with your family? One thing that we do, and I've seen other people do, is have a Sabbath box. So at our house, we have a Sabbath box or a Sunday box, and it has some games and puzzles and books and different things that we don't use during the regular week. They're things we've always had in our house, but my wife puts them in the Sunday box and the kids are all excited because here comes the Sunday box. And it's just stuff that we don't have around the house on a regular basis. So you can have a Sunday box, and these are just special things that we do on a Sunday. Another type of a Sabbath box or a Sunday box, which I mentioned, Sabbath and screens on here. Hey, what we can put our phones away on for the Sabbath. Let's not look at screens. You know, and you can in your family, apply this in varying degrees, however you feel it works best for your family. I don't go on the internet or do any social media or YouTube or anything on Sundays. I will still text people. I have my phone out, but I'm intentionally not doing any internet kind of related stuff on Sundays. So however screen use works in your family, putting screens away. This is something you can do on a daily thing. You know, 8 o'clock, screens go away. We have Starlink internet, and I can turn the internet off at our house at 8 o'clock. So depending on what season we're in, we'll sometimes have the internet shut off at night. No screens in rooms. You know, there's another thing that's very practical and very intentional. If you're going to be on screens, give your kids screens, keep them in common areas. So a couple ideas around screens and being intentional with that. Daily rituals. I already mentioned this, you know, reading the Bible at mealtimes, which my grandparents did, which my parents did, which we now do with our kids. Read a devotional. And you don't have to be like a Bible college graduate to read the Bible with your kids. I said this in one of my talks last year about pornography. We were reading a Proverbs with my sons, and it talks about the seductress. If you want to start getting into, you know, all the fun topics, start reading through Proverbs with your kids and talk about the adulteress and the seductress and all the fun stuff. Daily ritual, reading Bible at mealtimes with your kids, after the meals, praying. Some friends of ours, they do a Sabbath meal at the beginning of their Sabbath time. And we were there once for Sabbath meal. And the dad went around the table and put his hands on his wife and each of his kids and went around and blessed them. And every week his kids get blessed when they celebrate their Sabbath meal. This is the beginning of our rest time. And I want to bless all of you. A dad being super intentional about blessing his children during a Sabbath meal. Bedtimes, another great time to read, to pray, to ask your kids how you're doing, to speak blessing over them, to bless their bodies, bless their gender. God created you to be a boy and a man someday, son. I bless that in you. I bless you, my daughters, that you'll be mothers and wives someday, and bless the genders of our kids. We live in a culture that is certainly not doing that. As moms and dads, we can do that. Birthdays, kind of an annual thing that we can celebrate. What are intentional things we can do on our birthdays? A friend of mine does this. It's not super deep or anything, but I get my daughters a bouquet of flowers on their birthday. If they turn one, one of them just turned 16 or 17, I don't know. I don't really know what the ages of my kids are. But, you know, get my daughters flowers on their birthday. Just a little thing that's an intentional thing to let them know you're valued, I appreciate you. And one thing I do for my boys is I give them a baseball every year, and I write a character trait on it. I write the year, and usually the character traits are related to an area where they can grow. You know, kindness. Remember when you hit your sister with the baseball playing hockey in the living room the other day, son? Kindness. So there's baseballs all over our living room, all over our yard, all over our property, because for the last 13 years, I've been giving my boys baseballs with patience, humility, kindness. I think I put like hard work on one of my sons. He needs a little bit of boosting, you know, hard work, son. When it's chore time, it's hard work time. Let's go throw the ball. See what it says on it? Hard work. So there's an idea for birthdays. Sabbaths, screens, talked about that a little bit. Having an annual theme. I stole this idea from our pastor. He would have an annual theme at our church every year. And so about 10 years ago, we started implementing an annual theme in our family. So this year, 2025, our theme is peacekeepers. I was reading an article in an Above Rubies. Is anyone familiar with Above Rubies? Nancy Campbell. I was reading an article in one of her magazines, and it talked about being peacemakers. Like, we make the peace. Like, you make machinery, you make woodworking, we make peace in our homes. So we need to be intentional about making the peace, because it isn't going to come about on its own. So we said to our kids this year, and we have it up on the wall in our living room, it says Peacemakers 2025, just on a piece of paper, you know, nothing fancy, on a piece of paper, it says Peacemakers 2025. And we are constantly, we're not constantly talking about being peacemakers, but it comes up because it's there, it's in our living room, and we're just trying to be intentional about being peacemakers in our families. Do any of you have anything that you do that you are very intentional about? Ideas? I'd like to hear. We are a room full of great parents that are intentional. What are some things you do with your families to be intentional? Yes.
That's great. So you put candles out at dinner time, at all meal times. Okay. Putting candles out, turning the lights down, just making a peaceful environment. The kids kind of calm down. Mom of the year, right here. Three boys. So it's mostly calm at your house then. I love that. Thank you. Candles at meals. What else? This is to brag. This is your time to like brag. Like, hey, this where we got it all together. This is what we're doing. Yes. The bedtime liturgy. And what is it? That's awesome. I love it. I love it. Where did you get that? Did you write that? Is it Habits of the Household? I was going to say, yeah. Great book. Habits of the Household. That book has like a million practical ideas like that. And when I mentioned like blessing your kid's body and their gender, that came out of that book too. Habits of the Household. Great book. Justin someone, I think, is the author. I can't remember. Yeah. He's a lawyer, I think. Habits of the Household. Google it. You'll find it in 1 second. Great. Liturgy, speaking, blessing, and purpose over your children. I love it. Candles at dinner time. Love it. What else? Yes. That's hard for you to keep track of. Oh yeah, I love it. A secret handshake, and it's building identity. Like our identity is part of our family and part of our faith, which we live in a culture that people don't know what their identity is. Great, a secret handshake. We came up with a family crest I designed a few years ago, and so it's on my computer here. And I just made this up with some things. I did some research, but it has our core values on it: love, wisdom, and courage. So we talk about our core values sometimes, what matters in our family to build family identity. Like, this is who we are. What else? Couple more. I think we got a couple minutes here. Yeah, like 5 minutes. Solomon, give us your wisdom, Solomon. How old are your boys? 4. Okay, you got a lot of years of running coming in your future. I love it. It's great when your kids get older and you can do stuff like that with them and do races and stuff or music or hobbies when your kids get involved in your hobbies and stuff. Great. Birthday pancake. Super practical, not complex. Great idea. One more. Yes, Darren/Jonathan. Love it. Take care of that Bible. No. So I don't know if you guys could hear that in the back. So he had an intentional like rite of passage, gave his son a billet of steel, which just means a blob of steel, a piece of steel, a chunk of steel, right? A piece of metal. And they blacksmith it and they built a sword together. Dad of the year right here, building swords with his sons, and then gave him a Bible and then passed his Bible on to his younger brother. And that Bible's going to get passed on to the next younger brother. I love that it integrates siblings. I love that you're doing it with your son and it's tangible, like doing something with your hands. That's awesome, Jonathan. Thank you. Good idea. All right, I'll just talk on a couple resources I have at my booth, and we'll be done here. Talking about screens and things like that, I mentioned these books. I did talk last year about pornography. I've got them here this year. Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, and Good Pictures, Bad Pictures Junior. One is for age 7 and up. The other is for younger than 7. Just to introduce them to the topic of, if you see something bad on a screen, what do you do? And it's very innocent. The junior one doesn't even use the word pornography. The other one does use the word pornography, but it's just like, if you see something bad on your screen, what do you do? So that's a great resource. A couple other ones. These are specifically about talking about sex with your children. The Talks by Barrett Johnson. He said a lot of parents just have the talk and explain it, but it's talks over years, over, you know, while we're running races, while we're building swords, we are talking about things while we drive in the car and have meals. It's many talks over many years. Fantastic book. And then also The Young Man's Guide to Awesomeness, specifically for teen boys. You could read it with them. They could read it by themselves. Uses explicit words in there that we probably don't say every day. My son is 13. He hasn't read it yet, but he's been asking me some more questions. So probably in the near future, I'll give him that book. And then this is a course that Barrett Johnson does, the author of those two books I just mentioned, called Smartphones 101. And it's a 10-lesson course you can watch with your kids. It's got some worksheets that go along with it just to create a discussion. Hey, if you're going to be getting a phone, what does that look like? What are the boundaries we're going to have in our home? What is going to work for our families? And I talked to Barrett Johnson. He'll give us a $10 discount if you use the code THRIVE to do the Smartphones 101 course. And then my own propaganda is there for $15. I've got my books there. Small choices can create a big change. Be intentional. Be encouraged. We're not perfect, but you've got what it takes to be a great parent and be intentional to disciple and teach and train your children. Thanks so much for coming, and maybe we'll see you at the talk tomorrow. Have a great weekend.
Once again, the Manitoba Association of Christian Homeschools would like to thank the Learning House for sponsoring this recording. Please visit them at learninghouse.ca.